Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should you stay? Or should you go? That is the question that perhaps you're asking even now in regard to your local church. This is Wretched Radio. Should you stay or should you go? How do you sort it? Thanks. That would be a hat tip to Cripplegate for providing four helpful categories for you to consider before you walk out the door and never return to your local church. This subject of when to stay, when to leave, how to respond to elders who are doing things you don't dig, it is as dicey as the subject of divorce. Why do I say that? Anytime you talk about the subject of a marriage that is ending, if you do not deal with the entire subject of marriage and divorce, it is almost certain somebody is going to hear it and go, oh, you mean then that I can do this? Or, hey, why didn't you say this about that? Because the subject is big and it's risky to talk about it in parts, which is why I do believe the Cripplegate is going to help us talk about the subject of the church. Because if we don't try to cover all bases, then you're probably going to hear something and go, oh, so you want me to stay in my crummy church or vice versa. So you want me to leave a church that's just so-so. I'm not trying to recommend anything, simply trying to provide hopefully four categories that will help you in your consideration as to whether or not to stay or to go from your local church. Jimmy, was that caveat thorough enough?
I think it
was. Because I know what, I get it. You're going to hear this list and you're going to be thinking about your church. And you're going to be going, is he saying that? I'm not saying anything about your local church. Really, I'm not. So please apply appropriately, courtesy of the Cripplegate. If you lived 2,000 years ago in the city of Corinth, you wouldn't have hundreds of churches that you could run to. Paul basically said, work it out. Get stuff started, which is not the definitive word on whether or not you can ever leave a church, but it is an encouragement to leave slowly. Please, again, I know what's happening right now. Out of the tens and tens of people listening, you're going, oh, so you're saying I need to stay in this stinker. No. No, I'm not. I am saying, though, that we should think very, very carefully before we go. Why? Well, the New Testament pattern that we see, I understand there weren't a ton of options, was you stay in your local body and you get things sorted. You deal with these issues. Not only do the elders need to shepherd the sheep, but the sheep can sometimes call the elders to repentance. So our bent, our desire should be, I want to stay. That's our bent and our desire. Does that mean you can never go? No, it just means that should be our trajectory, that we desire to stay rather than leave our family. Don't forget, your local congregation is your family. That is exactly what Jesus said. He was teaching and his brothers, his sisters, his mother showed up. And they announced it to Jesus and said, hey, your family's here. And he pointed to the disciples, to the people who are following him, who are believing on him. And he said, this is my family. In other words, your spiritual family, your in Christ family, whew, you don't walk away quickly from those people. I know you can engage yourself into another family, but for you horticulturalists, I think that's the word that means you like to plant and farm and do that kind of stuff and garden. You understand, to constantly repot something, it stunts the growth of the plant, just constantly mow. You know what I think I like it over here? You know, I think I'll put it in that pot over there. You know, maybe it'll be a little bit better over here. The more you do that, the more it keeps the plant from growing. Ditto if you're constantly shopping and hopping around. Believe me, I understand why you might be. But we need to understand that when we are constantly leaving a church, staying there for a bit and then going, your roots aren't going to go deep and you're simply missing out. So what makes a church leave worthy? Here are the four big categories. The big one, of course, is doctrine. And underneath that are the different categories of doctrine, starting with essential doctrines. If your church is off on the essentials, you can call the elders to repentance, but then you need to skedaddle if they don't repent. Because a church that is not orthodox, small o orthodox, isn't a church. Yeah, they've got that word on the front sign, maybe on the big screens. Jimmy, does anybody use bulletins anymore? Everything done on the... Do you get bulletins at your church?
We do, we do.
Okay. That answers that question. So does our church. Because we want people to take it home and perhaps rework the entire service and refresh yourself throughout the course of the week. And on our bulletin, in our name, alpharettabiblechurch.org is the name church. But does that automatically make us a church because it says so on the bulletin or the front sign? No. What makes a church? Is that the essentials of the faith are biblical, they are sound, and the building is being led by elders as best sinful men can do, striving to be godly, to shepherd the sheep. That's a church. If you're missing those components, it can't be a church. What are the essentials from Cripplegate? The nature of these are the big ones. You got to make sure salvation, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, that we're sinful human beings. Jesus became a man to die on a cross. He's going to return to judge the living and the dead, the Trinity. I would add sola scriptura, that if you don't believe the Bible is the, get ready, infallible, inerrant, inspired, and sufficient word of God, the reformers would say, you're out of here. And if a church doesn't adhere to sola scriptura, well, then you should be out of there if they refuse to repent. Quote, if you find yourself in a church where one or more of these truths are not believed, you're not in a church at all. Secondary issues, secondary theologies. These are issues that might cause you to leave. Not necessarily, but they might. And it really depends. There's a balance that needs to be struck when you talk about secondary issues because we can make it sound like they're unimportant. Well, they're not unimportant. They're just not as important as primary doctrines. What are some of those secondary doctrines that might cause you to skedaddle? Eschatology. You say, Friel, isn't that eschatology? I like to put the accent on the wrong syllable because then it makes it sound like I might have inside knowledge you don't, and that would make me seem smarter. Like Genghis Khan, if you get that reference. You're watching too much Brian Regan. Eschatology, important? Yeah. Crucial? No. It just doesn't rise to the level of primary. Doesn't mean it's irrelevant. It's just secondary. Mode of baptism. Immersion versus sprinkling. Credo versus paedobaptism. Granted, there's going to be some practical issues about baptism that might make it difficult. If you've got little kids, you don't have kids, how much of an emphasis it is in a particular church, but it's still a secondary issue. The nature of communion practice. Now, if communion goes into transubstantiation, I would say that is a primary issue. That's a big problem because it would be the re-sacrificing of Jesus again, and that would be a problem. But if it's real presence in, with, and under, symbolic, we can have differences of opinion and still get along, and you can still stay in your church. Here's one, and this is probably the one that causes a lot of people to leave, and it might be reason to, might not, church polity, how the place is being run. More on that in a moment. Nature of the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is from Cripplegate. This is a bunch of guys from the Master Seminary. They're in it. This article is saying, hey, we can have some differences regarding gifts and still get along and do church together. The age of the earth. I'm just waiting for Ken Ham to call. He would agree. It's an important issue, and it can become a primary issue, but on its face, it's a secondary issue. Covenantalism versus dispensational issue theology. How you go about the business of understanding the flow and the arc of the Bible and your hermeneutic. It can cause all kinds of challenges, but it isn't cause necessarily for leaving a church. So what do we do with these secondary issues when there is a difference of opinion? The encouragement is try to stay. Try to stay. If it becomes untenable, well, then you wouldn't be sinning if you did. But according to Cripplegate, it should be done on a case-by-case basis. And you say, well, what about my case? Next on Wretched Radio.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations than had previously been produced in all of Christian history.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do I need to play this again? No. Is it a flashback? Oh, yeah.
Should I stay or should I go?
This is Wretched Radio. Should you stay or should you go from your church? That is a question a lot of people ask. I read a statistic in a Cripplegate article. 30% of people have multiple churches where they regularly attend or are even members. 30%? Hoofed it. Now, could there ever be a reason for that? Yeah, there could be. You've got a situation where you're going to take care of an elderly parent. That's understandable. You're a university student. I think you should have a joint membership. Because of your circumstances, you're not safe if you are not a member of a local church. There can be reasons why some of these people have multiple memberships. But 30%? Zoinks, Scoob, when do you stay? When do you throw in the towel and move on? Cripplegate offering some help. Not everything you need to know, because every scenario is a little bit different. That's what makes it so challenging, because we can be talking about primary doctrines, secondary doctrines, church polity, etc. Then you got the kids involved. You've got the life and the health of your family involved. That is not a small thing. Working on a book right now. Friel, we didn't ask. Going to tell you anyway. It is a book called Lord Over All. How Jesus Christ is not a tack on to reality. He is reality. Everything in this universe is pointing toward him. One way or another, everything is, including the way that we spend money. And I was using what's perhaps would seem like a trite example, but you're doing your books and you discover after paying your bills, hey, well, somehow we got a little windfall here. Should we go to Dairy Queen with the extra money? My answer is no, because it's not good ice cream. But theologically, can a Christian spend money on something as, well, I'll call it lavish, because by first century standards, it certainly would be. Do you realize you get to drink cold water all the time? You get to throw ice in water. Jesus never got to do that. King David didn't live like that. I like grapes. Friel, nobody is asking. And I love them. Snappy, crisp, and cold, baby.
That's the only way you'll eat them.
Ah, they're so, and I, every time I'm eating grapes, I think of King David. He maybe had grapes, but they weren't crunchy and chilly like mine. We have it really sweet, and going to Dairy Queen would be one of those treats. Should you spend money on Dairy Queen? You don't need it to survive. What are the considerations? And please note, I recognize you don't have to work through every penny this meticulously, but it's to make the point about how we should be viewing money. And the considerations for whether or not to go would include things like, how's my giving to church? Do I know somebody who has a need? Am I storing up money for a rainy day to be a smart guy? Am I storing up money to give my children an inheritance? And you say all of those things could point toward asceticism. You don't go to Dairy Queen. Hold on. There's other considerations. And one of them is your family. Maybe this would be exactly what your family needs at this moment. Because every family, sorry to use the term, it has rhythms. It has seasons. It's doing well. It can be struggling, not because anybody is sinning necessarily, but simply because of schedules and busyness and work and sports. And your family could use a little together time. Then I say, go to Dairy Queen, because it's good for your family. Maybe the way to your teenager's heart is through his lactose-tolerant stomach, and you can fill it up with Dairy Queen and maybe have a conversation because you know anything, then do that. What does that have to do with whether you stay or go in a church? A lot. What's the life of your family? Where are they at? What are their relationships there? Now, remember, we're not talking about heresy being spewed from the pulpit. We're talking about some secondary issues, some secondary theologies, some secondary considerations that might cause you to go. Family could be a big consideration. My kid, this is his last year, and to pull him out, that's like moving. Then he's going to go off to university, and it just would be really bad. Or maybe there's a health issue in the family, and it's the family is consumed by it, and this is the last thing you need. Or your marriage is struggling. The kids are going through a whoa kind of season. What I'm saying is they're teenagers. Maybe it doesn't make sense. Consider family before you consider going. I do believe it is one of a myriad of considerations, which is why when it comes to leaving a church, it really is case by case, which is why I said initially, hey, don't listen to any of this and say, that's okay. That's what I'm supposed to do. It is a big holistic consideration. And doctrine is most certainly one of them. If it's essential, they don't repent, you need to scoot. If it's secondary, well, you can stay. It depends. This is from Cripplegate. It'll be a case-by-case basis. The age of the earth, for example, isn't as forefront as having individuals standing up at each service claiming to speak in tongues. There's just going to be different things. Think wisely. Go to your leaders. Even if the church is currently veering in a bad direction, and I know that's happening to a lot of people these days, and I feel you, brother or sister, you still need to go to your elders. They're still your elders. So you go to them and you share with them. Listen to this quote. If you want to understand your pastor's heart, this quote will help you. It is a joy when shepherds don't have to chase sheep down who departed without letting anyone know. Just courtesy and in respect for them. There are tertiary matters when it comes to whether or not you should go. Here they are. Get ready. These are matters. They're not unimportant, but they're not vital. It is not worth leaving a church if it's only one or a couple of these tertiary issues. You say, Friel, get to the list. Spend all that time talking about the Dairy Queen. Get to the list. Here it is. The celebration of holidays. Christmas. Do you do Christmas or not? Maybe the church doesn't do anything and you're like, come on. Or vice versa. Tertiary. Type of worship. Is it a cappella? Instruments? Liturgical worship? Only old hymns the way that it should be done? All of these are considerations, and they might not be your preference, but it isn't a valid reason to leave your family. Who the author of Hebrews is? When certain books were written in the Bible? Should Sunday school classes be interactive versus monologues? Children's ministry or not? Family church. Now, there's one, and this has caused some people to leave their church. Look, I've got an opinion on it most certainly. My preference is that you take your kids into church because it's good for them, and it's good for the adults too, because no kid is going to be perfectly blissful for every service, and that means we're going to have to learn how to be a little bit patient when a baby squawks and to maybe focus a little bit harder on what we're hearing and not so easily distracted. It's a mutual blessing. Is it a law? Nope, can't. If I had a verse, I'd use it, but I can't. Can a kid go? Yeah, they can. Do I think it's ideal? No, I don't. Am I going to leave you if you disagree? No, of course not. These are tertiary issues, and they need to, you can work on them, but don't go. What about ethical matters? The pastor's taken a tumble. What should you do? And the answer to that question is, well, it depends on the response of the other elders. Let's say, for instance, let's just say it's the preaching pastor. Not that there should be an adjective, but nevertheless. It's the preaching pastor. What a nightmare. Should you just leave? You should just talk to the other elders. See how they respond. If they're like, yeah, bummer, right? But hey, we're just going to do a little rotation here. We're going to get somebody. Whoa. Then that's like indicative of another problem. But if they're dealing with it rightly in a godly way, well, then you can say, all right, I'm going to stay with my family. And this is going to be a rough season. And it's going to be hard. But be one of the people who stay. Now, we're, of course, the assumption here is that the church is indeed small o orthodox. It is striving to be godly and biblical. Then don't abandon ship. I was just reading a statistic. It was in the United Kingdom that it was over 30%, not quite 40, but 30-some percent of people whose churches closed down will never go to church again. Now, there can be some reasons that are valid. The location, they're in a rural part of England. They don't have any options. But many of them are just like, if that place closes down, I'm just done. In other words, we want to get in the game and help churches stay afloat, which might mean sticking around, even though it's not going to be ideal. Because remember, a church is primarily for God and not for us. Should you stay? Should you go? It's up to you. Just be very, very cautious and careful. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a stunning display of academic prowess, that's sarcasm if you couldn't pick up on it, a group of international scholars funded by the European Union have spent over 5 years studying sex and gender only to conclude that they can't actually define either concept. But fear not, dear listeners, they have heroically recommended that these undefinable concepts should be incorporated into all academic research moving forward, because nothing says scientific rigor like basing your work on terms you said you can't define. The GenderNet Plus initiative, which began in 2018, involved nearly 400 researchers from 12 countries and was awarded a cool $4.2 million by the EU. Tax dollars, hard at work defining the undefinable. And in other news, the Vermont Department of Health has decided to redefine the concept of family because, hey, who needs words like mother, father, son, and daughter? They're just too restrictive for the modern world. Their groundbreaking solution: replace those archaic terms with cutting-edge alternative like grown-ups and caregivers, older family and younger family, because it's so loving to refer to your children as younger family units. And moving on to the world of fast food and entertainment, because they coexist now, at Chick-fil-A at least, they're reportedly planning to enter the crowded video streaming market very soon. The company has been working with major production companies to create wholesome shows, particularly in the unscripted genre. They've ordered 10 episodes of a game show from the producers of NBC's The Wall. In an education news, two college students are taking on the Biden-Harris administration, claiming they're being denied eligibility for a scholarship program because they're white. The lawsuit, which was filed by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, challenges the $60 million Ronald E. McNair Post-Baccalaureate Achievement Program, arguing that it violates equal protection rights. The plaintiffs received emails from their colleges telling them they couldn't apply for the scholarship due to their race. That's equality for you, excluding people based on skin color. Finally, in a concerning turn of events, parts of Aurora, Colorado have reportedly been overtaken by a violent Venezuelan gang. The Aurora City Council claims entire apartment complexes are now under gang control, with the staff being beaten, threatened, and forced to flee. Denver's sanctuary city policies are being blamed for the spillover of the migrant crisis into the suburbs. Meanwhile, Aurora has passed a resolution pledging no handouts for migrants. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means "the Lord comforts," brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, are we ready to go in there?
We are.
Then let's get started,
yeah,
shall we?
Yeah.
This is Wretched Radio. You're a chitcher.
According to you.
It's only recent, though.
Yeah.
You haven't always been a chitcher. I think it's a social contagion. I can't be sure about that. Actually, I can be sure about it because I forgot I'm a talk show host. I'm sure about everything. Only recently, when people are looking at their phones, they're Googling or they're scrolling for something on their screen, on their computer. And I don't know how it got spread and who started it, but we need to find that person and put an end to this. Here's another observation that is worth approximately the price of admission to this here wretched radio program. If you are younger, I would ask you a question, even if it's at work, at home, schoolwork, whatever it is. How many windows do you have open? How many different tabs do you currently have at the top of your computer? Okay, Jimmy, you got your computer. How many you got open?
I'm counting 13. I'm a tabber. Yeah.
You're a tabber. You're a tabber. Yeah. Is what you are. You got a double whammy going on.
That's right.
Like everybody needs to figure out how they work best. Maybe there are some people with the ADH, whatever, that can bop like that and be pretty productive, actually. So you wouldn't want to make a blanket statement or an ironclad law, but I would challenge you to consider closing down most of the tabs that you aren't using and use one. Now, this isn't for everybody. So, like, Jimmy, I suspect you got different tabs because you're doing different things. I get that. This, like I said, this isn't for everybody. But if you've got a job where you don't need all of those tabs, shut them down and focus on one thing and push through that itch. I got to open up another tab here. Look, I find myself doing it too. I have a tendency, I turn off my email when I'm trying to write a sermon or working on the book that's going to be out next year so that I don't get distracted. But then after a bit, my brain just needs to go, it's sort of like listening to a story in a sermon. Your brain just kind of goes, oh, and gets a rest. But if I don't shut it down, I'll just be bopping back and forth all the time, bopping back and forth. And production is not as good. It's not as much. The quality of it will be lacking because of a lack of focus. I simply challenge you to consider that and see if your productivity doesn't go up. If and you have been listening to our consideration of whether you should stay or go from your local church, we've been talking about mostly unemotional considerations where you probably aren't as whipped up about them. Doctrinal issues, you're like, okay, look, I get it. Doctrine, it's really important. It's a sober and serious consideration. And you maybe feel strongly about some of the issues like the age of the earth, etc. I'm a young earth kind of guy. I feel strongly about it. So you bring that one up as a secondary and I'm like, but overall, I think we're pretty cool-headed when it comes to theological considerations. Cripplegate, however, gave us one more category of consideration. And this is the category that I think is the hottest. Preferences. These are deep. They are firmly held convictions about the way things really ought to be done. These are the things that I like to see, and I think I can come up with some biblical support for them. You bring up these issues, and look out, this is when the church Donnybrook begins. Because we hold these things so near and so dear to our hearts. Was watching a video. I don't know who the guy was. It was one of those videos. It's like, oh, this one's next or a pop, whatever. And the guy was talking about, oh, I know. It was a short. And he was talking about something that he learned from being a spy that if you applied it today, it'll improve the quality of your life. All right, you got me. I'm hooked. Let's see what this individual, I don't know what his worldview is, but let's hear what you got. Something that has promised to change my life. And he talked about the distinction between, it was a P word. not your preferences, your perspective, and that you look at most things through your perspective, because of all that you bring to the table. This is how I feel about an issue, because it's your perspective. Now, as a Christian, I would say, oh yeah, I know what those things are. Those are pre-understandings. Those are all of the influences that you've had on your life that are brought to bear. When you walk into a restaurant and smell the food, you make determinations because of memories, what you've had before, experiences, how loud it is, all of that, you just bring it. And I thought, you know, in a sense, it's kind of helpful, because I have a tendency to bring that to preferences. That because it's me, and well, I'll be honest, I think I'm pretty groovy. And the way that I would like to see everything done is, of course, the superior way of doing everything, because it comes from me, because it's my preference. It's my way of viewing things. And I wonder if we don't get into a lot of unnecessary squabbles over such things. Here's one, for instance, right now that I see that's a little bit hot in the social media sphere. Whether or not an evangelical should vote at this time, because of what J.D. Vance said, the tweet from Donald Trump, and there are some really good brothers who are going, can't do it, not going to do it. I'm just, nope, I can't be a part of that. I disagree with that, and you probably even have a third opinion. Why do we perhaps get a little bit hotter over such things than we should? And I do believe that this is insightful, that watching this former spy actually helped me to have some clarity in my own heart. It's because I don't consider how it is that anybody else could come up with a different conclusion than the one at which I've arrived. I just don't think about it. Or here's another reason. I assume that if you've come up with a different decision, whether it's about voting or not voting or whatever the issue is that isn't going to determine somebody's eternity, I just perhaps don't stop and think how smart you might be. I just assume I'm the smartest person, I was going to say in the room, but on the planet. Well, it's me. Come on. Duh. Tell me you don't think that you're pretty sharp. We all do. That's just kind of our the old Adamic nature that we is still coursing through our flesh. We don't have that nature. We just, our flesh is about me. We only have one new nature, not an old nature, not a new, you got a new nature, but you got this flesh that's so, you know, carnal. That's the same word, you doofus. Granted, but my heart is always inclined to give myself the benefit of the doubt and to not think that maybe you've spent, how could somebody, okay, there are some good, I know they're good brothers who are now, they're publicly saying, look, I just can't vote. Okay, I disagree on that. All right, these are good brothers. They are smart brothers. These are individuals who aren't just, you know, just knee-jerking. They think deeply on things. And I got to remember that I am not the smartest guy on the planet, and that there are other ways of looking at things. And there are other, I was thinking of the term, one of our problems, I think, when we communicate with one another as evangelicals, weights and measures. You know, you weigh, so you have to have an, you have to have a standard by which to weigh and measure other things. And I think sometimes my weight for how I see things, it is automatically heavier than everybody else's weight. I measure things by me, my thought process. Now, that's not to suggest I'm automatically right or automatically wrong, but it is to suggest maybe, just maybe, possibly, there would be less fighting on the internet amongst good brothers if we maybe just for a moment stepped back to ask, all right, how is it that a good brother or sister could possibly come up with a different conclusion, especially when it comes to the issue of preferences, which is the list that we are going to go through and consider whether or not these are valid reasons, excuses for you to leave your church. How is that for an 11-minute tease, Jimmy? That's going into the Radio Record Hall of Fame book thing. This is Wretched Radio. So, you're not convinced of the importance of training men to rightly divide the word of truth and fill pulpits internationally? Fine. Then we'll let Paul Washer convince you.
It is so important, not just important, it's absolutely essential to have a trained expositor of the scripture in every church. When we read through the book of Acts, we can see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, advances as the word of God advances.
Would you please consider joining the Master's Academy International in filling empty pulpits with men who can exposit the scriptures and advance the kingdom of God? It's a magnificent ministry with a generational impact. Please learn more about supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor for the Master's Academy International.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine about how a single spark can start an entire wildfire. And it got me to thinking about you, our listeners. Each one of you is like that spark. You have the potential to ignite a blaze of the gospel. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, that's a great analogy, Jimmy. Yeah, not so much. But here's the thing. We've been fanning those gospel flames together for a while now, and it's been absolutely incredible. But imagine what we could do if we joined forces even more. That's what becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner is like. It's like adding fuel to the fire, and suddenly that spark becomes this roaring blaze. Yeah, I'm not going to let it go. That reaches millions with the life-changing message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say? Are you ready to turn up the heat? Told you I'm not going to let it go on this gospel mission. Just visit wretched.org/donate and get answers to any questions you could possibly have. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, speaking of church, Friel, just get to it. This is Wretched Radio. Going to get to church preference issues, whether you have a valid preference that could cause you to leave your current church. But I can't help but think about the Master's Academy International. This ministry, from Master's Seminary, the graduates that return to their home countries and then start to teach and equip indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. If you love the local church, and I will say this, if you are a believer, you should love the local church. And if you don't, I would encourage you to start working on loving the local church. Masters Academy International is all about the local church, equipping pastors to rightly cut the word of truth internationally. 19 countries now, thousands of pastors getting trained to mount vacant pulpits and to lead healthy churches. It's a great ministry to learn more and consider supporting it prayerfully, financially. Simply visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. Preferences. Let's get to preferences. And this is where these are the hot button issues. Are these valid reasons for you to leave a church? This is from Cripplegate. Preference number one, does your church play the songs slash hymns you like? That's a preference. And according to Cripplegate, and I would affirm it, that is not a valid reason to leave. That is just, if that's it, just the style of music even isn't your, now, believe me, I have a very strong preference for hymns. I like them. I like them a lot. And I will say this. I've noticed this, and I'm not the only one observing this. We'll sing contemporary worship songs that are sound and that are with the theme of the service based on the text that we're in via expository preaching through the book of Matthew. So I'm not opposed to that. But we mostly do older stuff because it's a much broader range of themes than contemporary. You know, contemporary is pretty much just, oh, I feel your presence. It's growing hot. Pour out your fire. Hit the spot. It's just kind of narrow, and the hymns are broad. And so it's really easy to find hymns that are on point with the subject matter. And I've noticed our congregation now is singing louder every week. They take some getting used to. You've got somebody who has been maybe going to a church where it's mostly contemporary worship, and then you throw them into a hymns church, and maybe that's your experience, and you're like, whoa, what just happened here? Just give it some time. Give it some time. Because I think that you'll just learn how to sing them better. Now, having said that, you love hymns. You go to a church, or you're at a church, and they don't do the hymns, or at least not as much, or maybe they do an occasional hat tip. I'll see the churches are like, hey, there's one day a year where we get together at night to sing hymns, so you better get your belly full then. Well, you're the type who'd like your belly full of hymns every Sunday, and your church doesn't. Is that a valid reason to go? The answer is no. Certainly not by itself. That's a preference, and that wasn't easy for me to say. Is the temperature too hot or too cold? This is a big deal. Maybe especially for women, I'm not kidding. When it's too cold, you just watch women, and they're just very unhappy. Now, look, I get it. We should be mindful. Temperature is like a big thing that I think we so often overlook. Anytime we're doing an event here in Wretched, I walk into the room where guests are going to be, and I immediately feel the room. Because people should be comfortable. We should be striving for that. If you don't have anybody in church assigned to the thermometer, I guess it would be a thermostat is what it would be if you're a legalist, then you should, because we want people to be comfortable. But if they're not comfortable, no. If you're not comfortable, not a valid reason to leave. Three, does the preacher talk too little or too much? I know. Doesn't mean you can't talk to the pastor. Doesn't mean you can't encourage him. Pastor, amen, 30 minutes, I feel like you're just hitting your stride. Could you just so you know, I'm one who will not complain if you go longer. And if you've got a pastor who goes long and could tighten it up, then lovingly bring it to his attention. But don't just go and complain and carp. Bring it with, you know, hey, I noticed that you do this. Here's one that a pastor so often does. I just watched a Steve Lawson video on how to begin a sermon. And he said, one of the ways that too many pastors begin the sermon is saying, okay, so if you recall, last week we were talking about, and then they rehearse the entire sermon in 15, 20 minutes before they get into this week's sermon. Don't do it. They were there. Can you bring people up to speed? Of course you can. You should, but you shouldn't re-preach your sermon. And if your pastor is doing that, you could point it out to him. Does he sometimes just go off on tangents? I have no idea what that is like, but if he sometimes goes off on tangents, you could just then at that sermon say, so the last 2 weeks, here's when I noticed that you did it. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I spent 7 minutes talking about going to Dairy Queen? Huh, I had no idea. You could be helping your pastor, but if he doesn't change, it's not a reason to leave. You might not dig it, but it's a preference. Does the church have coffee and donuts? And what time do they bring them up? What kind of coffee is it? Preferences. How many ministries does the church have? Does it have all the ministries I want? Here's the rule of thumb. If you notice it, if you see that there's a deficiency, congratulations, now you know your calling. Now you know how you can serve the church. Then do it. Then lead it. You lament, hey, there's nothing for fill-in-the-blank demographic. All right, you're in that demo? Do it. Believe me. Most, I don't suspect all, but most pastors will be like, wait, what? You want to volunteer to actually do stuff with that particular group because we just haven't been able to get to that yet? Nah. Nobody's going to do that. They're going to be like, cool, man. Bring it. If you're young married, okay, that's one of the things that I want to get going. And I'm telling you, I have a dream. It wasn't a vision, but I keep seeing this on the Alpharetta Bible Church website that there's a list of people who they're willing to give their name and their email and say, I have experience with this. And then the people who have a need can go to that page, find somebody who has an experience with it, and plug into them. And most of the time, I suspect that those people that are going to be willing to put that kind of information on the website to offer help are going to be older saints, because now they know some stuff. The challenge is not getting the seniors onto the site to offer help. I don't think that that's a challenge. Most of them would love to be called on to download wisdom. The challenge is getting young people to tap into it. That's one of the things that we want to try to cultivate at ABC, because we that intergenerational stuff. And we do want to start up the out of high school, college age stuff, not to just get together and knock around, but to do fellowship and studies and do fun stuff and become friends with people in your church, whether they're cool or not, because you've got a deeper association in Christ than soccer or drama or piano playing. I see that, but we're not there yet. If somebody who is 22, 23 years old approached me and said, hey, I'd like to start leading something where the people my age start getting together. See it? Do it. Preference issue. Is the building old or new? Is the church more than 10 minutes away? Here comes one. This might sting a little bit. Public versus homeschool kids. There's a culture in a lot of churches. Be careful that you don't leave a church. Maybe you're a public school person, and most of the people at the church are at their homeschool, and you hear about it. Okay, homeschoolers, my fellow homeschoolers, dial it back. They're the parents. They get to make those decisions. You can encourage, you can help, but don't be pushy on that subject. And vice versa. Here's one, Jimmy. What is the date on this article? It is, I think this is a really recent article. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Pro or anti-vaxxers? Oh, baby! Yep, big deal. I get it. Well, not so much anymore. But it's a preference. It's not primary. It's not secondary. Not even tertiary. It's just a preference, perhaps because of your perspective. None of those are reasons to go. Send your emails to jimmy@wretched.org. Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, @wretched.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.